Chell could see the places where Teo and Rory and Greg and Catriona had been, and the places they were soon to reach. Each had decisions to make, and the ability to attempt resolutions, just like Chell. He wept small tears into the fur on his face, but only from the eyes he was born with. His four seer eyes stared unblinkingly into the futures arrayed before him, making starkly clear the consequences that had to happen and the preceding decisions that had to be taken. His decisions about who should live and who should die. Guilt assailed him. Guilt for what he would soon do. It was a burning task that seared him down to the essence. He tried to shut it out, rise above it, and for one shimmering instant he was free of it, unable to see further, clearer and more truthfully than ever before. One vibrant, vivid instant, when the stonework of the root house and the ground above moved aside, when the sky parted, when a shining corridor opened for him and let his vision soar at first between the stars, then into the underdomains, what humans call hyperspace. Onward his vision flew, past incredible sights and spectacles, before it approached what seemed to be a vast and monstrous island, hanging in mid-air, ragged at the edges and underneath. And he felt another mind looking straight at him. A mind of two minds, readying itself for battle. It spoke before he could.
Guilt cannot be outrun.
A jolt of surprise and a sudden intake of breath, and he was back in the root house. Sad, somber, and resolved, he bowed his head. He knew what had to be done. Chapter 36. Greg. With a bloody nose and a twisted ankle, he staggered through the dying ship, desperately searching for a still-functioning escape pod. The one he had been on the point of departing in had come under bludgeoning attack from a Legion cyborg trying to gain access to the ship. He remembered hearing the shriek of tortured metal as the thing ripped and cut its way through the ejection hatch, then started on the hull of the pod itself. Ash and the others were already gone, and he was on his own with only his instinct to guide him. So he had scrambled back out of the pod, closed it up, then resealed the heavy access hatch out in the gallery. Then he had hit the manual latch, sending the last pod in the port aft gallery away on its travels. He knew that the starboard aft pods had been wrecked by repeated missile strikes and that the starboard midsection ones had all been taken by the Tigran crew. That left the port midsection pod gallery. There was another cluster of them up in the bows, but beam attacks had cut through the hull, turning the connecting corridors into mazes of razor-sharp debris blown open to hard vacuum. So here he was, limping along with a knackered ankle and a bloody nose, earned when part of the deck grav fluctuated wildly earlier. In one hand, he had a small foam extinguisher, and in the other was a heavy beam pistol, while praying that he'd never have cause to use either. The corridors were smoky from onboard fires, concealed or otherwise, which the automatics were struggling to get under control. Yet worse than that were the never-ending sounds of activity out on the Silver Lance's hull. Thuds, clanks, hammering, the squeal of rotary blades,